God gives us those perfect words to speak, to minister, to encourage, and to bless. And God certainly spoke by the mouth of Kathy there, and that was really great encouragement. She mentioned about God spoke to Dr. Well. He gave him a revelation. He gave him an indication, a direction, something to aim at, a confirmation to move forward. And God is working like that with us all the time. And he really wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be happy. And we certainly are. And we got so much to be thankful for, thinking about Thanksgiving. I was thinking about choices. You know, choose you this day, death or life. And there's, to every positive thing that God's given, there's a negative thing. There's an opposite. Like, you got up, you got down. You got life, you got death. You got faith or you got fear. You got abundance or you got poverty. And God has given us the good things in life to choose and to decide to follow after and to go to him as the source of all of our supply. And the only thing that ever stops us is when we decide to go by the narratives of the world. When we look at the things with our eyes, we know that the scriptures say the just shall live by faith, not by sight. So the invisible things, the things that we can't see, but we know are there. God has made all spiritual blessings. He's spoken all spiritual blessings into our life. And he's given us good words so that we, those words that he gives us is quick and powerful and sharp. The scriptures were the words from God that were spoken and recorded. And God's still working in us also to speak forth that fresh bread from heaven, that heavenly manna, what we live by. We don't live just by bread alone, but we live by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. So the word is in your mouth, then in your heart. That's why it's so important what we say, what we declare. The more we say what God says, as he inspires us, also his promises to us, the more that's getting into the depths of our heart. Now, your heart is where faith comes from. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what have we built in our heart? Are there still things remaining of this world in there? And when they come up, what do? We can replace it with the words of life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he is the best way to follow. He blazed the trail for us and set the example. And he gave his life. And God raised him up from the dead. He's alive. He's risen. He's seated at the right hand side of God. And that Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, dwells in us. It dwells in us. All the things that is attributed to Christ is in us. And we are, as he is, so are we in this world. So now it's just getting our minds engaged with the Spirit. You know, to receive these words into our heart humbly. And to ask God to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. God wants our eyes to be enlightened. Enlightenment. In the East, these people say, oh yes, you've been enlightened. God wants us to be enlightened with his true spiritual heavenly way. So that we can live that way. That we can make the right choices. Make the right decisions. We are a sum total of the decisions that we've made. And God says, choose life. See, it's a choice. When you get up, you can choose to be thankful, or you can choose to be, what? Unthankful. You can choose to be happy, or you can choose to be sad. You can choose to receive these words, and you can choose to reject these words. It's always down to a choice. And so when we go with God, we ask him, Father, you show me the right choices to make, and you enlighten my darkness. You direct my steps into your way of holiness so that I can be that living epistle in the world. So as we start to walk with God, as we practice these things that others have practiced and proven that it's from God and it produces fruit, and as we do, then we can start to prove these things to ourselves. God wants us to prove him. He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows and pour you out a blessing, that there's not enough room for you to receive it. In Malachi, he said that, Malachi chapter 3. And he says, come on guys, prove me. And then in Romans, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you start to prove these things to yourself that, yes, this is the way of God, this is the right practice, this is the sound doctrine. When we start to do this, we start to be enlightened. We start to understand, yeah, the way of God is simple. And the way of God is powerful. When it's simple, it's powerful. When it's simple, it brings deliverance. It brings light. God's answer and wisdom is far superior to any wisdom of a man or of this world. And just like with Solomon, God gave him wisdom, great wisdom. And when that young baby was brought before the throne, one was saying it was hers and the other one was saying it hers. Then what was the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God in that situation was chop the child in two. Right? And the ones whose child it was said, no, let her have it. She wanted that baby to catch life. So he knew straight away that this was the real mother. And so that was wisdom from God. And his wisdom went out through the whole world. And people came. Bathsheba came with good gifts. Her gift made room for her so that she could receive these words of life. She had a connection, a good connection there. She went to see. And when we're speaking those heavenly words from God, when we're ministering to people's hearts, people will seek you out. I was hungry, and I heard that scripture. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more and abundantly. It's available, and there's a might in there. Might. Depends. There's a condition in there. It might. Well, what's the might? That we go to God and realize that he is the source of all of our supply. And that when we do from an open heart the things that he wants us to do, then God can take care of all the things that we need. So we might have a need in our life and we go to God, Father, I got this need, and we can pray. And then we're thinking, well, how is God going to do this? Like, you just can't figure it out. But God says the how of how he's going to do it is none of your business. Right? That's God's business. How he's going to take care of you, how he's going to provide for you is God's business. And so we don't want to do God's job, right? So we just give out requests. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. So when we give our request to God, we let it go, we lay it at his feet. And we're trusting. We know that he's going to come through. We know he's going to provide. That's the trust and confidence level. And the more we do that, and the more we see answers to prayer, the more we see deliverance, the more our confidence is growing, our trust levels are growing, our faith is increasing, and we can go to him very confidently. So as we practice, so you can see it's very important to practice praying to God for your need, praying to God to work in your situations. And what happens when he comes through? Cast your mind back to the first time he done something for you. He answered your prayer. It built your confidence to go to him again. So God said, now, look, you know, I'm a jealous God. I don't want you relying on yourself. I don't want you relying on anyone else, but I want you to rely on me. So lay down your request before me. Come boldly to the throne of grace, so that you can find mercy and help in the time of need. You know, God wants us to go to him. He wants us to let our request be made known. He wants you to go to those courts of heaven, right? An open heaven. You live under an open heaven. So use it to your advantage. Speak his word boldly. Declare into your situation what you want to see happen. Don't think of it as it's going to be answered in the future. See it as already a done deal. This is done. So Amber, God bless her heart, she really blessed me. And Amber and Danny, you know, as I see them quite often, hear their words, they're on fire. And the testimonies are coming in and in and in and in. And she reminded me that she listened to a sharing of Sanger's. I missed it, actually, but she pointed it out. I heard it, but I didn't catch it. But she helped me to catch it. Like, so she's a good team player. She threw the ball back to me. Okay, Laura, catch this. So she heard a sharing from Sangat. And Sangat was mentioning that in India, you know, the word was moving, like really, you know, growing. But when the people from US and Europe and UK come, we were saying, oh, the word's moving really mightily here. To them, it wasn't. But then he realized people were speaking the right words, blessing the fields there from their words. And these guys were also confessing that the word from India was going to move out the whole, all over the world. And so that was their confession in the early days, much more before we realized about confession. And so then it flourished. It really flourished and grew. But when the wrong words come, it dilutes. We don't want to let anything to dilute our faith. For an example, I recognize that when we have people come, like Sandgate's always encouraging, pray for fresh fields, brand new fields, new people. Ask God for the new one, the ready ones. And I realize that when you get someone coming from a different denomination, a background, they may have heart for God, they may know loads of scripture, it kind of taints what's going on. Because then there's the arguments, oh, well, the scriptures don't say that according to their understanding, right? So they'll argue with you. I'll give you an example. So you've got like three different takes on the end times. You've got the pre-rapture, you've got the post-rapture, and you've got the mid-rapture, right? So there's different takes on the rapture, and everyone will use the scriptures to make a case for their claim. It's like going before court. Like when you go to court, you're going to prosecute someone. You've got to have a case to present to the courts, right? And so a lot of people use the scripture like that. Maybe not with that in mind, but they present their case. But see, the acid test is like, what is God really saying? Where's the fruit? Is it producing godly faith in someone? Is it producing someone to really go to God with all their hearts? To expect God to do signs, miracles and wonders where the needs are? Is it getting people to go to God that God's a loving God and he's going to take care of you and he's going to protect you? Like in this pandemic going on right now, God is with us. He's taking care of us. As we stay with him, we see him provide for us. God can cause you to flourish and grow right where you are. In a country that is poor, God can cause you to flourish and grow and to become prosperous so that you can be that blessing right where you are. It's down to your faith, or you can look at the circumstances. The circumstances will always trip you over. But when we learn to ask God, Father, give me eyes to see, open up the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I can see and behold your beauty, your truth, your goodness, your love. When we go to God with a pure heart like that, I'm telling you now, God will really open up your heart. When you're ready to speak forth boldly without worrying about what anyone might think of you, whether you're saying it wrong or doing it right or whatever, you can't even think that way. You speak what God puts in your heart, you declare it very clearly, concisely and boldly, and your words should be words that build faith. God is a faith God. If you want to please God, you've got to go to him in faith. And if you go to God in faith, he will reward you. See, a lot of people will complain, or they'll moan, or they think, well, God, you're doing it for that person, but you're not doing this for me. That's not faith. That's complaining. Children of Israel, they complained. They didn't receive the promise of the promised land. So God says, now just lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, and run this race that I've given you. And to run this race, you'll need my energy, you'll need my strength, you'll need my direction, you'll need my help. And so God says, stop depending upon yourself, even upon your knowledge, but depend upon me, the fountain of living water, who can supply everything for you. In 1 Peter 4:10 it says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of manifold grace of God. God's giving you spirit and he's giving you a mouth. And God says, open your mouth and I will fill it. And so let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. In other words, we're not looking at the things in this world and depending upon them. Those things will just stop us from really moving. So really, we got to stay to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is simply the words from God. That's sound doctrine. You've got the written scriptures. Many people divide it up in so many different ways. And it can all of it could look right when someone presents their case. They've got their scriptures together, they're building their case to present to you, and they want you to take it. But you go to God, Father, now you show me. You give me a discerning heart. You give me a discerning mind. Let me separate truth from error. And see, because if you've got wrong doctrine, you've got wrong practice, you're going to have error. You're going to have the wrong things come up, the wrong things show up. But when you got sound words, and your sound words that God gives to you, the sound words from God that He gives to you, it will always agree with what's written. And it will always build faith. It will always bring peace. And it will always energize you to move. Even in reproof and correction, it will always be energizing you to believe God, to move forward with Him, not to stay at the ocean, not to stay standing at the edge of the Red Sea, but to walk through the Red Sea. And as you move, He moves everything out. So God is providing very wonderfully. Don't get all shook up at your situation. Don't even look at your bank balance. Don't look at your cupboards. Don't look at your car. Don't look at anything else. But God, you know my need, and I thank you that you supplied all of these needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's why we teach people the principles or the things to practice that are beneficial, because it's proven. The things that we're encouraging are the things that I've been encouraged and I've put to test. I practice and I'm seeing great results. The great results start with me first. Any genuine rise from God will always start within the individual. And then from there will be the expansion, rise and expansion of the Christian church in the first century. What did they receive before they expanded? They received that gift of Holy Spirit. They were led by the Spirit. They spoke by the Spirit. Signs, miracles and wonders God was able to do by these wonderful apostles and believers, because they received the words gladly that these apostles were speaking forth very boldly. And it separated out the ones that were bringing contention. It would separate out the religious ones that wanted their own way because they had their own agendas. But it brought the people with a pure heart. God will make wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, the message that we deliver is simple, powerful, and it's easy to be entreated. And you can see these things that I'm saying now in the scriptures. It's right in there. There is a record that a believer shared with me. There's four verses, and it really blessed me. And it's in Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to read it, because when she sent it to me, it was Siri from Norway sent it to me. It really blessed me. And people know, there's a lot of people that know that it is letting God giving us the words. But they're afraid because of the one says, no, you've got to study and research. So people, they let fear stop them, indirectly stop them. Well, if I say that, this person might not fellowship with me no more. God wants unity in the bond of peace, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Doctrines will always divide up, but when we're walking by the Spirit of God, it'll always bring genuine unity for those that have a humble heart and want to move forward with God. I love this record. It's Deuteronomy, it's Old Testament, it's for our learning. But listen to this. Give ear, O ye heavens. Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 4. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and upright is he. And God's still the same today. And he's looking for people that will cease from their own works, that will enter into his rest, that will allow him to energize them. There's plenty of examples being given on the fellowship through the year, and since I've also come back from India, God has really been working with all of our faith, mine, yours, and God wants me to encourage the way I encourage. I haven't prepared for tonight. My heart is always prepared before God, but I haven't prepared a teaching, scriptures, but I allow God to speak by my mouth, and he gives those words. And all of you have been practicing, by the way, when you come on here, and it's really great because, you know, when we start doing it the way God is leading and encouraging us, then we start to see things happen. And so when God showed me about, okay, this is where you connect, God showed me to connect, no one told me you got to connect here. God showed me, now you go here for sound doctrine. And so I decided to connect. And it was the best decision I ever made because it was inspired of God. And I come into agreement with God. I cease from my own way. I was very stubborn before, person that wanted to do things my way with God, thinking I was doing it God's way. And then from that, I said, okay, I'm going to do everything I'm encouraged. And I've done that. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful for the things that I've been encouraged. I'm thankful to God. And I'm thankful to my Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful to my minister also that has really encouraged me to practice God's way and to do the things that he puts in my heart. Honoring God changed my life when I got the right understanding about honoring God with my first fruits. And to really give to him that when we do that, not only does God multiply our seed sown, but he increases the fruits of our righteousness. Now we're already righteous. So how does he increase the fruits of our righteousness? It's the righteous works, the acts, the understanding. He gives us understanding also. So when we're honoring God, then there's growth. There's great growth. In India and Nepal, we've seen from the examples, these guys are straight away encouraged to do that. They do that. Not only do they grow and multiply as people, but their finances multiply and grow as individuals, the ones that practice it. Where they come from off the streets, from mud huts to building their own houses and owning their own lands. They've entered into their promised land, so to speak. Listen, you know, God wants all of that for us. And he wants us to encourage other people that same way. Speaking in tongues. You know, the manifestation is given to every man to profit, to benefit. God wants you benefit. Everything God has done is for our benefit. Because he wants us to be those living epistles. He wants us to show the world, look, this is how God looks after his kids. And when we, but there is a discipline in this because of our reverence and devotion to God and our love for God because of what he's done for us. We've submitted unto him and we're willing to do what he shows us to do. And it does go against the mainstream world, what he has us to do. Like when God showed me to go full time for him, to live unto him, to give up my work, me and Kim weren't in agreement. And God said to me at that time when we was in disagreement, Lawrence, you take care of my business and I'll take care of your business. And then I realized, I said, okay, God, I give this back to you. Kim is my business. You need to take care of her so I can do what you want. And her heart changed. It really did change. And like God made it easy for me. Because God is the one that gives you the desires. He'll give you the direction and you just need to be bold to follow it. It may seem way out there to someone else, people that are close to you. And they're the first ones that speak against you. You know, when you start to do something extraordinary. Because listen guys, we're not ordinary people. We are extraordinary. So when we start to do something extraordinary, something that goes against what everybody knows and been taught in this world, it starts to stir up a few things. It gets tongues wagging. It gets people thinking that you've gone crazy. Didn't Jesus' brothers and sisters and mother think he'd gone crazy? So we can see it. There's nothing new under the sun. But God is with you. And he wants you to continue to practice. As you do that, when you speak the words from God, then you're exerting his authority also. Like Danny and Amber, that you know they've seen devil spirits manifested from people because they're speaking his word, thy word. They're speaking it boldly. Not that they're looking for devil spirits or anything like that, but because devil spirits know when someone's turned on. when you start upsetting things around you, not because you're looking to do that, but you're speaking the truth, you're walking by the Spirit, this is going to come up. And you've got authority to cast these things out. You know, they are dogs without teeth. Devil spirits are dogs without teeth. They're nothing to be afraid of. They're trying to make you afraid. They're trying to intimidate you through, you know, just atmosphere and tension. But when you've experienced that, you say, get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. You've got no authority. You've got no jurisdiction. I take my authority in Christ. Now you back off and leave. Now, and they have to obey. See, you've got to realize devil spirits have to obey. And so you have greater authority. You've got the same authority that Christ had. You can do the same works that he done and greater. That's why in India, we've heard of these people being raised from the dead. I think Kim was saying to me yesterday, when you hear that, you think, wow, like someone raised from the dead. What was it you were saying?
We were talking about faith.
Yeah.
And how when you pray to God and you desire something, and then it comes to pass, your faith grows. And I said to you, it's like we've seen many things in our life, but we haven't seen somebody get up from the dead, like my dad.
Yeah.
But then we go to India and we hear all these awesome testimonies, like so and so raised so and so from the dead, and we're like, wow, really? Like, we shouldn't be that shocked.
Yeah, and do you know what? And I'm glad I remember that, and Kim said that the other day, because we're going to see it. We're going to start seeing this, guys.
Yeah.
We are definitely, because God is, like, ramping things up, and he energizes his people and brings them along with him, the ones that are humble, the ones that will be willing to do what God says. So, man, yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving, yeah. We got so much to be thankful for. And, you know, it's a choice. Every day is a choice, what we do. You know, I was very blessed today. Someone sent me a simple four-letter message, and it says, I love you, brother. And that just changed my whole day. That really, from the person who said it to me, that really meant so much. And we can't say that enough to one another. And we should be encouraging one another, not arguing over doctrine, but let's put the things to the test then. Okay, if you think what I'm saying is wrong, go and try it out. If it brings you fruit, continue to do it. Then do your way. If it doesn't work, then come do it the right way. So the fruit will tell. The fruit will absolutely tell, guys. So if you have been listening to what we've been encouraging about honoring God, speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, staying connected, you will benefit 1,000%. Honestly, 1,000,000%. It is so beneficial. It's nothing that you have to do by law, but it's a wise thing to do. The wisdom of God. So the wisdom of God is those things. And there's many more things that we can practice. And it's the wisdom of God. People might think, well, that's just the wisdom of Lawrence. Lawrence learned from Sange about connecting. And yeah, I did learn it from there because it's beneficial. And I've benefited greatly. And it's a need also because we can all go to God. We've all got that direct access to God to go to him. And so we should all do that 100%. And I only connect when God shows me, but that's a couple of times a week for me. Because I want to stay hot. I want to stay in the know. I want to stay in the loop. I want to know what's going on. And also people will stay in the loop with me too, because they want to know what's going on by us. So God is doing amazing work by us here right now in Bristol and by you that are connecting. So my encouragement, which is really strong in my heart, I say start, if you're not really fully practicing these things from your heart, I would encourage you to consider, go to God, give him what I've said, and then put it to the test and start doing it. Because the first person that's going to benefit is you. The first person that will see the change is you. The first person that will see the growth where you are is you. And you can change everything. So God says tonight, choose the right way. Choose the right way. Choose life. Choose abundance. Choose growth. Choose miracles. Choose the freedom of God, where that life is more and abundant. Great sharings tonight, and all of us, you know, share wonderfully. God is working in all of our lives, and I am so blessed to see that the people that are practicing what we're encouraging are actually profiting from it. I've been teaching from the scriptures for years, and some people would practice and they get little benefit, but I've never seen so much benefit like Danny and Amber, like Becky Jancy, like Jason. I'm just talking about the people that are here with me, that I can see. I know other people online and that are connecting from me overseas are also seeing the great benefit. If you're not doing those simple things, you're missing out. You're robbing yourself and you're robbing God of a chance of really blessing your life. And we don't want to do that, right? God said to the Malachite guys in Malachi, you've robbed me. He pointed it out to them because he loved them. He said, look, you're robbing me. You're not giving me what's right and due. He was basically telling them, where have we robbed you? They didn't know they were doing anything wrong. And then he told them. And then he said, your words have been stout against me. You've been talking about me. You've been saying that the unbelievers live a better life. And I have to put my hands up because years ago, I used to say the same thing. I said, well, where's this abundant life? I'm living worse than the unbelievers. What am I doing wrong? I always used to wonder about it. But now I understand the sound doctrine. It's those heavenly words and practice. And it's just a practice. And as we practice, we perfect. God perfects us as we practice. The eyes of our understanding open. So we really understand what to do. And do it from the heart, not as mechanically do it. Not like keys to the spirit and all this stuff, but just mechanically do things, but from the heart. Because you know that it's well-pleasing to God, and God's well-pleased with you when you do that. And I want to please my God. I don't want to be a man-pleaser, definitely not one of them. But I'm a God-pleaser. And I really want to encourage you to start walking boldly in this area. If you're not doing it, you know in your heart, I'm not judging you, you're knowing your heart, it speaks to you strongly. And if it's speaking to you strongly, then do it. Just do what God is showing and encouraging. And he's the God of peace is with you, and he's taking care of you. Now he wants you to excel. He wants you to come up even further. Doesn't matter your circumstances, he wants you to come up further now. And he's got great things in store if you do it, but you need to follow his way to get to that destination. So this is what I wanted to share.